everybody. This is Steven Dutzman. I am the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com, and this is a special Friday afternoon edition of my ride to work. This is the EFG Daily Commute. Today, I work from home because it was Friday. That's our normal thing, and it was a snow day. So if you look at my Twitter, I actually live tweeted some of the weird stuff that I heard while I was trying to work. I'm going into Hartford because I'm actually going to a big tech conference. The editor-in-chief of Wired magazine is going to be there, and we're learning about digital culture and things like that. Hopefully, I'll have some interesting stuff. My plan is to actually record something on the way home to talk about it, which basically means, now that I've really thought about it, the EFG Daily Commute is just a catchy phrase. Anytime I am alone in the car for any extended amount of time and I don't have a specific podcast to listen to, I will be recording something, because why the heck not, right? Let's put as many episodes out as possible. I'm doing a special edition today because two really big things happened in the last like 12 hours, and it was amazing. 24 hours, really. So first, I want to talk about two things. One, Sony taking the year off at E3 for 2019. I think that is very big news, and it will send ripples through the gaming industry. I really think we're going to be talking about it. I think the phrase, Sony will not be at E3, is going to come up almost every time we record, and you know, any PlayStation-centric podcast is going to accept the fact that right now, they got nothing until, you know, because they don't have E3 to look forward to. And then the second thing is this afternoon, reports came out of Microsoft planning to launch a diskless, purely digital version of the Xbox One. And I have thoughts and feelings about both of those things. So let's just start with PlayStation. They have announced it, and immediately I heard, they're not going to have a thing at E3, so that means they're not going to be on the show floor, so they're still going to do a press conference. No, they're not doing a press conference. Then I said to myself, okay, so they'll do a Nintendo Direct type thing and just put out a big long video, because that's basically what those press conferences have been, so why not just edit a video and save themselves a couple million dollars in floor space, etc. Nope, they're not going to do that either. They said specifically they're not activating in or around E3, which also means no EA Play type event, or what Microsoft is doing at the Live Center across the street. Like, they're not activating. They are taking the year off. Now, specifically, in a statement to, and I forget who it was, but a Sony bigwig said that more or less it was because they didn't have anything else to talk about. The games that they are ready to talk, that they will be able to talk about next year, are the same games they were able to talk about this year, with maybe a minor change or two. And so this year they got in trouble because their conference was Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding and Spider-Man and God of War. That's what it was last year. And guess what? People hated it because they're like, oh, well, this isn't exciting. These are all games that we knew. Well, the problem is Sony came out of the gate hard. Well, maybe not out of the gate. They had a year where they released just a ton of stuff and announced a ton of stuff, and their other first-party studios, it appears, are not ready to announce things. Now, there's some things that we just straight up know, right? Like, and I'm just going to use Guerrilla as an example. We know for a fact that Guerrilla is working on another Horizon game. They haven't told us yet, but, I mean, if they are not working on a Horizon game, they have a very good idea, because that was a very well-received IP, people love it, and based on timing, it's possible that they could be ready to announce that game and maybe even ship that game within the first year of the PS5's life cycle, which is an amazing get for a new console, because Horizon Zero Dawn, arguably one of the best new IP of this generation. It was one of my games of the year last year, right? I put it on paper as being my game of the year. I waffle on it back and forth, but I loved and adored that game. And a follow-up is all but guaranteed. So, we know they're working on it, But here's the issue. Let's say they're not ready to go and the game is scheduled for release in late 2020. Perhaps as a launch title for the PS5, right? If they announce a logo now, they are going to have to spend so much time answering questions about this game. And if they don't show it at E3 next, you know, like it causes issues because people complain now if they see a game too many times at E3. People complained about seeing too much of Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was a great-looking game. I loved watching those trailers, but there were people who were like, no, all right, I've seen enough of Spider-Man. You're just giving me spoilers now. I'm already sold. And so Sony had that problem. And so I think that it makes sense for them to... I think that it makes sense for them to just not go to E3. It also saves them a ton of money, and by and large, Sony is, as a global organization, is not making a lot. So they need to cut corners when they can. Could be that some external pressures were like, do you really need to do this thing? So that's possible. But I think there's some others, there are some other folks out there who have different opinions. Specifically, if you want to look, you can see the tweets. You go to @GameOverGreggy. Greg Miller made a comment, and I don't know that I disagree. I just think it's not as likely. His thought is they're bailing out of E3 because they can wait until PlayStation Experience or their own non-E3 event and just let everybody else fight. Let everybody else go into the arena, and then by default, they will win 2 months later or whatever, whenever they do their own thing. Like, they don't need to be part of that noise. They could just own the front page. And if they're going to announce a new console, you don't need to announce a new console on an E3 stage to get mainstream press. You know, that was one of the arguments about E3, is that the eyes of the world are on the video game space. The Today Show talks about new video games that are announced. And, you know, USA Today covers it. Whereas they don't necessarily cover, you know, PAX or even the PlayStation Experience. Those are fan events. But by, sorry for my defroster. I guess that's probably been running, so sorry about that. But, so, the idea here is... like, they don't have, by not having to compete, and if they just put out a console announcement, everybody's going to pay attention to that because it's the announcement of the PlayStation 5, which is a huge deal. And so everybody will cover it. So, like, if it were any other year and they weren't announcing a new console, I think I agree that E3, you know, they'd be kind of bailing out of E3. And maybe they would be taking an L for that. Maybe it might be worth taking an L for that because they might be taking an L anyway, right? By taking an L, I mean they might be losing, right? Like, why spend all the money if you're going to go to E3 and get dumped on? I mean, I would bail if I could afford it. And so there's that. But I also kind of agree, and I think he has a point. They are announcing a console, and that kind of gives them the ability to kind of do whatever they want. And it opens up a lot of options for them that they simply do not have in a year without a console announcement. So we're obviously going to get more statements. The real thing, and if you go into the Engage Family Gaming community, which I think everybody that's listening to this should, you'll hear Nicole Tanner actually said it. She said E3 is dead. And I think I think Sony is gone temporarily, right? Like when... I really don't think that they're gone forever. But it is problematic, right? Like E3 used to be EA and Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo and Ubisoft all like fighting for space and fighting for attention. And EA does their own thing now. And Microsoft is across the street. In fact, I was at E3 this year. And I never even saw the Microsoft booth because I was busy doing other things. I didn't even walk past it. So So there's that. And so the fact that Sony's not going to be on the show floor this year, sure, that leaves an opportunity for Nintendo and for other companies to kind of swoop in, and have a bigger presence and really, like, make a big deal out of things. I think, you know, it does, I mean, it is it's not a good look for the ESA and for E3. And I know that the E3 has been a big fundraiser for them. I mean, it is a profit center. They do try and make money. That's why floor space is so expensive at E3. But I strongly believe that, I think they're going to figure it out. E3 is important. I think it's just likely going to evolve. I mean, it could end up being, you know, it's kind of like Black Friday. I think of E3 like I think of Black Friday. Like, people shop online, and the, you know, they shop online, and that means that sales at stores are different, right? Like, but they have adapted. So maybe they will adapt. Perhaps E3 will encourage people and stop discouraging them from holding their events outside, or maybe they'll encourage it, and just rather than having it be just taking up this whole convention center, perhaps they will find a way to encourage people to, you know, kind of link up and just be outside of it. You know, who knows? It's tough to really say. Obviously they stand to lose everything if they shut down, and then eventually maybe it'll just turn into an electronic week where literally it's just you watch the videos. Or maybe they switch so that you know, Sony's been doing this thing where you go watch them in theaters. Maybe they switch to that kind of model. It's tough to say exactly what's going to happen, but it is very interesting, and what happens next year will be a, it'll definitely be a, it'll be telling as to what the future will be for E3, but also for Sony. But man, one thing that I do agree is that this is an opportunity for Microsoft and for Nintendo, but Nintendo's already kind of seizing those opportunities, and Nintendo has already kind of done, you know, different stuff. This is an opportunity for Microsoft to come in and maybe take Sony's 6 o'clock on Monday night spot, or like really, really go nuts, trying and, you know, make as many announcements as they can and really just kind of blow up E3, because that it's them versus kind of nobody. Other fun facts: somebody had an idea that THQ Nordic has enough games to make a really interesting press conference, and I actually kind of agree with that, because they have bought up a lot of stuff, and if some of those things are actually being worked on, man, would it be really interesting to hear what they have to say. All right, so that's Sony not going to E3. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm going to be sharing this in the Engage Family Gaming community, so please go to facebook.com/groups/engagefamilygamingcommunity, or just go to engagefamilygaming.com/community and hop on in. I am very interested to hear what you have to say. Now, the next piece is Xbox, Microsoft coming out with a new Xbox. As a cost-saving measure, and I'm using this in air quotes, but I can't really use air quotes because I'm driving, but they're air quotes, it's a cost-saving measure. Now, this is literally true. Disk drives cost money, right? Like, literally, even if it's only like $10, $10 adds up. So, when you're talking about millions of consoles. And so, it is possible that they could be doing it straightforward as a way to save money to be able to make a cheaper console. Because frankly, an Xbox One X or an Xbox One S without a disk drive in it could theoretically be much cheaper. Because they don't have to worry about some of those parts. Also, you know, I have a problem where the disk drive on my Xbox One is broken. So not having to serve or provide customer service for broken disk drives, I mean, there's a cost-saving measure there too, albeit a small one. But, you know, the real question is this a test to move towards an all-digital future? And And a lot of folks say, yes, I actually shared a news article about this from IGN into the group. And the, and I got a variety of opinions. A few people were like, I got to think about this. Some people were like, well, you know, at least one person, Rob Kalajian, the founder and the man behind Pawn's Perspective, friend of the podcast, he said, I don't like it. I don't, you know, it sucks because I prefer to have physical copies. That means I can share and I can, you know, I can borrow from friends, I can buy used games, etc. Because that's all true. If you move into a digital environment, you're not loaning games to anybody. You're not buying used games, you're buying digital games. My concern about, like, I don't necessarily think it by itself in a vacuum is a problem. Some people only buy digital games, and so for them, this is a great deal. Why should they pay for a product that they do not want? They don't want a disc drive, they don't need a disc drive, right? You know, I mean, there's that. Maybe they, and there's a lot of reasons why people don't do the physical media. Maybe they don't have space for the discs. Maybe they, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. Maybe they just like the convenience. So there's that. I mean, it makes sense as an option for those people. Because, I mean, that's what the market is, right? Like, if somebody wants a product and someone can sell it to them, then they should be able to buy it. But the fear is that this is Microsoft testing the waters to see if people will be interested in buying a console where they'll never be able to buy a disc again. And, man, I am... I'm torn. I still buy cartridges and discs for all of my systems, for the most part. But I have no problem with buying games that are, like, I don't have an issue with games that are only sold digitally, right? Like, I couldn't buy a copy of The Messenger. And so as a result, I bought it digitally, right? And similar to that, you know, so if there was just no way to buy physical games, then I would just adapt. I don't know that I'm, you know, the right test case. I do enjoy loaning games with my brother and things like that, right? Like, that's something that I enjoy doing. And we wouldn't be able to do that if everything was digital. So, I mean, this is clearly a test. You know, I mean, it feels like a test to me. And I don't know how many people are really ready to make that jump. It could be a small percentage, at which point maybe they just wouldn't be making many of these things. And this is just a thought hitting me stream of consciousness. Man, do I not want to be a parent who buys this thing, not realizing that it doesn't have a disc drive, and, like, buys a bunch of games, and then realizes there's nowhere to put them in on Christmas morning. That would be problematic. But, I mean, obviously that's an issue that everybody has to deal with. So I'd love to hear more of your thoughts. I mean, I'm going to share this into the group, too. Would you buy this thing, number one? And, you know, in that case, I mean, if it's just alongside the products, I think for me the answer is no. Maybe I would. I don't know. I'd have to really think. It'd depend on how cheap it was. But the next question would be, if this were the only option, would you buy this? Or, you know, would that shut you off from the Xbox just entirely? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because I am, I'm curious. Like I said, if this is just, you know, if Microsoft has said that, like, they're moving in the direction of consoles being kind of iterative and having lots of different options, and this is, you know, if this was just one of the options, would you take it? I don't know. I'd have to talk. I mean, obviously, I would have to talk to Jenna about it. But I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say. I think, because I have to take a stand now, I think that I'm certainly okay with it existing. Because, you know, they don't have to make them, you know, make millions of them. They don't have to give them to everybody. could be just an option for the people that need it. Because there is an infrastructure issue, right? Like, some people live in areas where they can't, where by download, you know, they have data caps or they don't have broadband internet. You know, if you live in an area like rural United States, like basically the entire center of the country, right? Like, if you live in the rural United States, you don't have options for, you don't have the chance to buy, you don't have data that is big enough or strong enough to download some of these like 100 gig games. I mean, the Red Dead Redemption 2 was like 100 something gigabytes. If you're on not on like really good internet, that could take days. And if you have a cap where you have to pay more if you use it, oh man, it's crazy. So definitely interested in hearing what everybody has to say. I know a lot of my audience is in the Northeast, so I'm sure we might be kind of skewed, but I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say. So this has been my special edition of my EFG daily commute as I head on into a big tech conference. I do hope you guys have a wonderful day. If I don't talk to you, have a good weekend. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see you soon. Bye.